What's up, Atlanta? That's right, oh, put up the full four. I got you till 10 o'clock tonight. It's Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, in the house on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Man, are we busy tonight. A little breaking news coming down just a couple of minutes ago for all you five-stripe faithful. Tata Martino, according to multiple reports, is set to finalize an agreement to return as the new manager of the Atlanta United Football Club. So we'll talk to Jason Longshore about that, get all the ramifications. What does that mean? Who are they bringing back? What are they going to do? Big move. I'm coming home. Orton just gave me a look. Yeah, he's coming home, man. Hopefully he can bring the type of fireworks that he did the first time around. That'd be a sight for sore eyes after finishing in second to last place with an abysmal record this season. So we'll get into that. Hawks, nice little win last night over the Magic with some tomfoolery by Desmond Bain. And we said, yeah, man, you can try to be a tough guy, but how about you check the scoreboard? Because the Atlanta Hawks won without Trae Young. And is that a blueprint for how things need to get done in order for the Hawks to hold their water until Trae can get back? Or, Oren, is it a sign of what things could look like after this season? We won't get into that just yet. But maybe, just maybe. I'm just saying, the Atlanta Braves, see, I told you we're rocking and rolling. The Atlanta Braves make several coaching changes today. A trio of guys will not be back and welcoming in a couple of new familiar faces from around the league. Most notably, Rick Kranitz no longer going to be here as the pitching coach, being replaced by Jeremy Hefner. Now, this is an interesting hire, Braves country. If you're not familiar, y'all know I'm from New York, so I still keep tabs on the local teams I grew up watching. Jeremy Hefner, former pitcher himself, he was thought to be the hottest up-and-coming pitching coach in baseball for the last couple of years in New York. He took a ragabond group of pitchers and turned them into NLCS contenders with the Dodgers last year. It was a really, really impressive performance. He reworked their bullpen and their starting staff. And then this year, because of injuries and everything else, it all fell apart. And the Mets decided to move on. But he is considered a pitching guru. And we know the Braves need it badly. So I'm excited about that hire, actually. And a lot of turnover. So Walt Weiss immediately coming in here and putting his stamp on the members of his staff and deciding with, I think, more turnover than a lot of us would have predicted based on the decision to keep things in-house. So I like it. I like what Walt Weiss is doing early. I like some of these moves. We'll get into that as well. College football rankings came out. Oof, if I'm a Miami fan today, I am not happy. Because every other situation where Team A beats Team B, Team A was ranked ahead in the first initial playoff rankings. Except for Miami, who's ranked 10 spots behind Notre Dame. Yikes. But you know what? The Carson Beck experience has unfortunately reared its ugly head of late in Miami. Georgia, right where they should be, at number 5. Georgia Tech, 17. I was talking to Mike Conti in the bullpen, our fearless leader, before he wrapped up his shift for the day. And I was like, man, that loss for Tech was so disappointing, not just because the fact that they lost, but the way that they lost. And he said, you know what, Turtle? I don't think they're out of this thing. And I said, you know what, Mike? I think you might be right. Because if they can do what they need to do, especially if they beat Georgia, even if they're not the ACC champs, I think they still have a path in. I know I'm hearing a lot of, the ACC is only going to have one. I know Wes and Zeno and Dukes were talking about it earlier. I don't know. I think the ACC could have a couple of teams in. Things have to break right. And the certainly the ACC champion needs to be worthy. And the second place finisher, you could argue, may need to be even worthier, if that's even a word. I just made it one. And we'll see. So there is a ton going on in the world of sports, both locally and nationally, and we'll get to it all here on Chris Thomas tonight. I don't usually do a headline recap like that, but there is enough going on that it was worth breaking down everything that's going on. I usually, you know, guys, I like to get right into the mix and present my conversation with you for the evening. But again, just so many headlines, sort of hard to ignore. So now, what is the outlier? Which one of these things is not like the other? Which one did I not talk about? Of course, that would be the Atlanta Falcons. It's so funny. You know, this station's always humming, but we're humming a little something special right now. You know, part of the reason why? Because great minds think alike. I was planning on talking about this with y'all tonight, and then I was listening to the open for Dukes and Bell earlier while I was prepping for the show. And they started their show by asking a question. And I was like, mwah, chef's kiss, Mark and Carl. That is exactly what was on my mind as well. Here's my question. Line them up. Let's go. Whole first hour, as you know, is me and you on the phones. 404-726-0929. Is this a must-win game? Kind of feels like it to me. If you come back home 3-6, the path for making the playoffs is incredibly small. One thing you have on your side, your schedule does lighten up. But 3-6 is just about as close to being on the edge as you can be, Falcons fans. And what has this team here? And here's the most important part, is what has this team done to show you this season that they could rip off 4 or 5 straight wins in a row, which is what you need to do if you lose to Indy on Sunday? Nothing is the answer to that. Hello, Bueller. No. If anything, they've shown you, quite frankly, that they cannot do that because they haven't done that. And now they've lost 3 in a row in epic fashion in every way possible. Heartbreak, pure bludgeoning, inexplicable play. In every way, shape, and form, and facet, the Atlanta Falcons have not shown us the ability to win games in a row. That's why, to me, this one feels like a must-win. Because we know the edict. I still cannot foresee a world. And again, I know anything's possible. I know. If this team has a losing record again, or even just simply doesn't make the playoffs again, I don't understand or foresee how massive changes will not take place. That's why I'm calling this a must-win. It's not just for this season. It's for the current structure of the franchise. So what do you guys think? Do you agree with me, or do you think this team has more runway? Do you foresee a path where the Falcons can lose this game on Sunday and still accomplish their goals for the season? I'm just having, again, it's not impossible, but I am having a very, very hard time seeing that scenario play out. What do you think? Again, first full hours, me and you on the phones, as always, 404-726-0929 is the number. Is this a must-win, a word I don't like to use because it's sports talk radio hyperbole at its finest? But it sure feels like it, man. This is as close to being a must-win without a mathematical must-win, I feel like, as you can get. You're going overseas. You've gotten your butts whooped the last 3 games. You got to get this win to keep the season on track. I don't think a 3-6 Falcons team is making the playoffs, which means a failure of your goals for the season. 404-726-0929. It's Chris Thomas Turtle with the full 4 tonight, taking you up until 10 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. That's right. By the way, going to get to your calls here. Lines are full, so I don't want to waste too much time. But, Oren, it is Chris Thomas tonight, by the way. Let me slow down. Have you seen him lately? Dude literally looks like a bodybuilder. He went through one of the craziest body transformations you'll ever see in your entire life. It is absolutely crazy. If you haven't seen what Daughtry looks like lately, please go do yourself a favor and Google. It is insane. Dude looks like an Avenger. Like, I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. He looks like he has done nothing but lift weights and sing for the past 15 years since he was on American Idol. It's crazy. Hey, join the morning shift every Friday for the tailgate at home. Presented by Publix, Bo Morgan will fire up the grill and share his favorite game day recipes. And you can share yours by tweeting at the morning shift. That's the tailgate at home presented by Publix. Feed your fandom, feel the hype with Publix every Friday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good Lord.
I wasn't kidding, right, Oren?
This is ridiculous.
Like, what happened to Daughtry? Well, he was a normal guy when he was on American Idol.
His arms now are just completely covered in, like, one color, like a sleeve tattoo. He's got both his arms are sleeve tattoos now. He looks like he's a superhero now, yes.
Yeah, he's insanely jacked. Like, you know what, Oren, I'm going to call it? He's unnecessarily jacked. Like, there's no reason to be that jacked. Life is worth living, my friend. Eat a carb. Have a sandwich. 404-726-0929. Is this a must-win game for the Atlanta Falcons? I'll tell you what. Again, I don't like to be hyperbolic, but it sure feels that way. Coming home, 4 straight losses, 3-6. Doesn't feel like you're going to accomplish any of your goals for the season. But what do you guys think? Maybe you think they have some more runway. That's why we're having the conversation tonight. Cody leads us off. Cody, you're in the game. Go ahead.
Good evening, Oren and Pirtle. Hope you all are doing fantastic this evening.
Thanks, man.
So I'm going to kind of take it back a little bit. I think that the Dolphins game was the must win of the season, especially coming off of that big win in Buffalo or against Buffalo in Atlanta. You know, you had that game against San Francisco go out of your way, but that's okay. It's on the road. In San Francisco, hostile environment, Christian McCaffrey, blah, blah, blah. But then you come home and you lay a dud, and it just seems to be the same thing every year for the Falcons. We play the tough teams or the teams that are supposed to be the toughest, tough, and then we play the low ball teams, you know, low. So, of course, this has got to be a must win. You can't come back from Germany 3-6 because, I mean, the season at this point in time at 3-5 is – it's trending and dwindling very, very, very quickly, like it seems to do every year. But, yeah, it's definitely a must-win. We got to go out there. And for the future of the Falcons, I mean, if they go out and lay a dud like they have these past few weeks, I don't see how Raheem and coaching staff can come back and feel confident about, you know, a future here. But I just don't really know at this point. I'm just as fed up with it as everybody else is, and it's just seems to be the same thing every single year since that 2017 year.
Well,
so.
Cody, you know why it feels that way? Because it is that way. So you're not wrong, my friend. Again, you know why it feels that way, Cody and everybody else? Because it is that way. It's plain and simple. Falcons need to win this game, period. Let's go to Yo. Yo, you're up next. What do you think?
Of course this week is a must-win. Last week was a must-win. The week before that was a must win. But the problem with the NFL that we all have to come to realization is the other team is also paid to play the game. So I have a piece of advice. The Atlanta Falcons have not taken off yet, so hopefully they're hearing what I'm saying. I understand with your unscouted looks. I get all that stuff. But the most successful offenses in the NFL take the exact same look and do different things with them. Some of the most successful offensive playbooks in the NFL were with teams that lined up with the exact same formation every single time, but they did different things out of those formations. There's a reason when we look back at history of, let's say, Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders played in the run and shoot. Emmitt Smith played in a traditional offense. The difference became the offensive line for the Detroit Lions could not consistently block with that 5-man front and 4 wide receivers, whereas the Dallas Cowboys had a tight end and a fullback, and they were able to create leverage. I would implore this team, with the number of people that we have on offense, especially at the tight end position, to stop putting these midgets out there who can't block anybody and go ahead and try it with the 3 freaking tight ends that we have.
Well, yo, here's the problem, and I appreciate you checking in as always. Here's the problem with that. Oh, you know how many snaps Charlie Warner got last week? Five. Five snaps, guys. He has not been playing well. So, Yogi, to your point, I agree. Do everything in your power to get the running game going. But if Charlie Warner isn't effective, that's a big blow, especially because now that we know Bergeron's out this week, Raheem Morris let that one slip during his interview today with Zeno and Duke. So, you know, it'll be some combination of either Hinton or Javon Gwynn or somebody's going to be in there this week, and then you just signed Stuber. So especially to Yo's point, when the offensive line isn't 100%, you need all the help you can get back there. But if Charlie Warner is taking himself out of the game plan because of poor play, I mean, woof, you're in trouble. Coach Paul is up next. Coach Paul, what do you think?
Man, thank you, Turtle, for having me on tonight. So be patient with me because I want to just say a few things.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I'll be really quick. You can give different looks and formations and mix up the plays, but we don't have the tools. And, you know, I got accused of being a negative fan earlier in the year because I brought this issue up and what was going to happen when we had two hurt QBs. The fact of the matter is that Penix is not very – he's just not confident. And you can look at him on the sidelines, and I got a feeling that he's hurt too. He doesn't run the ball. We were sold over the summer about how he was going to be running back there and looking like a future Michael Vick. He is not a pocket passer. He's too short to see. Cousins is in the same predicament. We've got two hurt QBs. We can't look at 3 and 4. You can do all the scheming you want, but there's not a team in the NFL that is slightly intimidated by our offense and our QBs.
Well,
and it bothers me because a lot of the other shows during the day are not talking about this kind of information that you do. I love your show at night. I wish you were on during the day somewhere. But I just feel very strongly, and that's why I was negative over the summer, is that, I mean, you know, you got to see it before you believe it, and we still haven't seen it. Sure, he's had a couple of good games. He can throw the corner pass in the end zone, because he doesn't have to see that. It's just a natural pass. Any pass that Penix puts across the middle, he can't see, and he throws in the dirt, and he's just inaccurate and not consistent.
No, Coach, and listen, I appreciate the phone call, and thank you for the kind words as well. I think you're half right, Coach, and this is why. Penix is not too short. He's not Baker Mayfield. You know, he's not Johnny Manziel back there. He's not Drew Brees. He can see just fine. He's plenty tall enough. I've met him in person multiple times. I'm not bragging. It's just part of the job. He's not too small. Trust me. He's built, he's thick, and he's tall. So that's not an issue. What is an issue, Coach, is the development piece, to your point. He is not developed enough right now to be a complete quarterback. And that goes to coaching, and it also goes, to be fair, to the point that he has 10 starts in the NFL. So, Coach, we got to make sure that we're being fair and balanced when we talk about it. So I think you're half right. I'll give you partial credit on that one. 404-726-0929, but appreciate you calling in. Appreciate the kind words. Eric, is this a must-win game or no?
Oh, of course. This is like the penultimate if we want Penix to be the quarterback one for the rest of the season. If we lose, that's the end of it. You have to bench him. He's going to keep getting hurt otherwise. We saw what happened. Yeah, I said a few weeks ago when I called in, you know, he's going to get hurt. Boom, he got hurt. It's like, got to keep him. Got on the sidelines, wait for next season, see what happens with, you know, Pitt.
So, Eric, so you think if they lose this weekend, they should bench Penix for the rest of the year?
It's for his own good. I want him to be the career quarterback for the Falcons. The problem is, we're doing a disservice to him. He's going out there, getting frustrated. We're getting frustrated. That's not a good mix for Penix. And we want him. We just not in this format right now. It's not healthy for him.
Eric, that is a fascinating point that you just brought up that I had not considered. That is a great call. We actually, Oren, that was such a good point. We may make that part of the conversation tonight. So 404-726-0929. Right now, we're talking must win. I might shuffle in a little later if you think that if this season gets out of hand and it is definitely going nowhere, Does Eric have a point? For his own good, we know the knee's balky at least a little bit. I don't know. We don't know the extent if it's something that's completely over right now or if he's going to have to deal with it for the rest of the season. It's a very good point by Eric. Alexander's up next. Go ahead.
Chris.
Alexander.
Great topic. I'm going to say this. It's very important for the Falcons to win. But as an organization, they're not going to think of it as a must-win because they're going to go through the motions of a 17, 18-game season, of the new word we're out here now, the alignment, making sure that everyday operations is going forward. They're going to do what I hear all the time, block out the noise. It's a must-win, as you hear, Chris, for the morale of the city. That's what I hear. Everyone's upset. All the fans are tired of it. It's a must-win for the morale of this city because if they come back with a loss, Chris, you think it's hot now? Raheem might not be able to make it back to Atlanta. So it's more – and don't get me wrong. I think as an organization, Arthur knows what's going on. McKay understands what's going on. But they're going to go through their everyday operation just like any other business. It's a must-win for the fans. I don't know the estimated fan total in the building for Miami. If they lose that game, Chris, they don't have blackouts in the NFL. I don't know how old you are. I'm old enough to remember that most of the Atlanta Falcons local games were blacked out because no one wanted to go. Arthur, if Raheem loses this game, you're going to lose the city. And if you lose this city, that's a lot of money out of your pocket. So no, Chris. It's a regular, everyday game for the Falcons, but for the fans, it's a must-win. And that's what I got, man.
No, it's a great call. 404-726-0929. Back-to-back great calls, actually, by the way, from Eric and Alexander. Yeah, man. How many Panthers fans are going to be in Mercedes-Benz Stadium if they lose on Sunday? Oh, my. 404-726-0929. Marv, hang tight. You're up first when we get back. I see the other lines are blowing up as well. Another segment to take your calls on this. Must win or no? And how about Michael Penix's development, man? It's just not where it needs to be for him to put together these complete games. It's frustrating. We'll continue to talk about it next on Chris Thomas Tonight. Turtle, with you till 10. Back to the busy, busy phones in just a quick sec. I just want to remind you that this Saturday from noon until 2, join Allie Mack at Carriage Kia in Woodstock as we get ready for Sunday's big game. One lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kit, 50-inch 4K smart TV with rolling stand and other prizes. Plus, another winner takes home tickets to an upcoming home game again that Saturday from noon to 2 at Carriage Kia in Woodstock with Allie Mack on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 404-726-0929. Marv has been patiently waiting. Marv, is this a must-win game for the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday?
You know, it's not a must-win game, but it is a must-win in the sense of what the previous caller said, that the fans, we're just going to lose all hope. So I don't see Arthur making any wholesale change in the season. So we're just going to have to put up with a mediocre season this year is what I feel.
And here's my point. If you can Raheem in the middle of the season, who is going to coach the team?
Exactly. Right. Right. It's certainly not the offensive coordinator. So no. We're stuck like Chuck with this team. But I do think that there's something to be said that they would lose the city. They would lose the momentum that started earlier in the season, and it just feels, my eye test just feels like this is just going to be another, 8-8 or 8-9 season, and we're just going to be, again, kind of stuck where we were last year. And then at that point, you got to make a change. But as far as this game goes, no, it's not a must win, but man, I tell you that it'll just really suck for this city, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. Good stuff, Marv. Thanks for hanging at 404-726-0929. I think, but that, Marv, you know what's funny? I think for a lot of the reasons you just listed is what makes it a must-win game. Like, again, I know we don't want to be hyperbolic and exaggerate and all those things, but what team at 3-6 with losing 4 straight and losing key pieces of the offensive line has come back to make the playoffs. And that needs to be the goal. Like, we can't move the goalposts now. It doesn't matter. Raheem says it every single week. No excuses, right? So we can't move the goalposts back just because of some injuries. Can't do it. 404-726-0929. Cody is up next. Cody.
Yo, what up, Turtle?
What up, man?
Hey, man, to that last caller's point, what do you mean lose the momentum that we had at the beginning of the season? Dog, we got blown out by Carolina. We didn't even score 3 points, man. We got blown out by the Miami Dolphins, dude. What do you mean momentum? Yes, this game is a must win. But, dude, Miami was a must win. Last week was a must win. This is getting off the rails. It's already off the rails, man. I don't think with this coaching regime we can make the playoffs. If we do, we're going to lose the playoffs games immediately. Dude, this goes all the way back to preseason. If our team's not ready, and you hear Zach say it, we got to find consistency. Well, why were y'all not finding consistency in the preseason, man? Worried about injuries? Look at our football team right now, man. Everybody's injured. So I don't know what Coach Raw and them are doing. This is definitely a must win. But I will say this, because our coaching staff is so inconsistent, we'll go out there and beat Indianapolis, and then we'll come back and beat the Panthers, and then we're going to lose to the Saints and the Jets because we're so inconsistent, because they can't keep it on track, because they're not meant to be head coaches, man. And to call her a few calls back about Penix being benched, dude, if we lose to the Panthers and this game coming up, absolutely. Maybe stick to their original plan like they had said in the beginning when they signed Kirk Cousins. Maybe Penix does need to sit, and maybe they should have treated the Kirk Cousins injury like an injury, like that was their guy, and let Penix sit. And when Kirk was healed, bring him back in and let Penix keep learning, because right now, man, it's not it. It's definitely a must-win game. Every game from now on out for the Atlanta Falcons is a must-win game. You've already lost the fan base, man. And yes, Coach Raw is like that last minute Christmas buyer where, you know, you're like, oh, I'll get a gift. I got time. Next thing you know, it's new Christmas Eve and you don't got a gift. Now you got to rush out to Walmart and get something. Raw, you're running out of time, man. The end of the season is coming. We are in November now. Thanksgiving's coming up, man. I'm so tired of being so depressed around the holidays watching the Falcons, man. We got to get it together. It's a must win game, man. Thanks, Chris.
Cody, great call. Great call. Love the passion, love the energy, and you're damn right. This team cannot afford an eighth season without the playoffs. Sorry. There will be massive change. There will be. There has to be. How can there not be? Again, the only reason there wouldn't be earlier is because there's nobody to take over. Guys, Jeff Ulbrich took over the Jets last year and looked completely in over his head and literally admitted as much in the offseason. We're not doing that. So there's nobody to even take over. So yes, Ra is going to get the rest of the year, but if they come back 3-6, it's going to feel like it's, if not completely over, pretty dang close. Mill is up next. Mill, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Mill?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, writing the epitaph is, you know, pretty much what the season's brought us so far. But I'm concerned about, let's say they want to make wholesale changes next year. Are we sure that they're going to get the higher right?
No, absolutely. Why would you think that? They haven't yet.
Well, I mean, so it's been 8 straight years almost. And that's why I'm concerned about the development of a quarterback, because you have a quarterback, you have a chance. You have a defense, you have a chance. And I don't know. Let's say they do make a change. Okay, are they going to bring in somebody who's going to develop him and keep the defense playing well? If they don't, let's say we go on some sort of run, we put something together, get some sort of consistency. Does that mean we keep the coordinator? Or do we say, okay, no, we saw enough over the most of the past 2 years and say, why don't we bring in somebody familiar? Maybe Mike McDaniel keeps his job. Maybe he doesn't. And, you know, that's an easy hire.
Well, Mill, I think to your point, we need to see what it looks like, right? Like, you could, because you could run off a little toot between the Panthers, the Saints, and the Jets back to back to back. But, you know, if you win each game 14-10, is it going to feel that great? That's the point, right? That's what Mill was alluding to. And I think he's right. Like, again, there is a chance. At the beginning of the season, you would have said, because this is the second Panthers game, you're definitely winning one. So if it's this one and then the Saints, who are battling with the Jets, your next opponent, as the worst team in football, that you should win those three games back to back to back. Now, sorry, nothing's a given. Nothing's a given. I'm not putting any game for the rest of the season and declaring a victory for the Atlanta Falcons before it's played. Sorry, not going to do it. 404-726-0929. But I think to Mill's point, it depends how it looks. If you win all three of those games, you know, 35-10, okay. But if it's 14-10, you're just slightly better than the worst teams in football? Okay, what does that do? Let's go to DJ. He's up next. DJ.
Hey, what's up, Turtle?
What's up, DJ?
Hey, man, I've been hesitant to say this because I've been trying to give Penix a little leeway, but I don't know if he can read defenses, man. I've never seen an offense break the huddle, get up to the line, and just run every single play. I haven't seen one check, one audible. I don't see the lineman pointing out saying, hey, he's coming from this side, or we need to pick him up over here. It's like they just break the huddle with like 7 or 8 seconds left, get up to the line, hurry up and snap the ball. Like, I just don't know what we're doing on offense, and of course this is a must win, man. If you don't think this is a must win, then I don't know what to say. To be honest with you, we might already be out of the playoffs, but I just want to see them read the defense and react. It's like they just break the huddle and come up to the line and like, you're just going to have to stop us. It's like they're not even trying to figure out what the defense is trying to do.
Well, to and your I point, here's the thing, though. How much of that is because Penix only has 10 starts? If this was year 5, would it be different? Right? I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't know, but it's a rock and a hard place, DJ, because you need Penix to be at a certain level of development because you need to make the playoffs. Like, you need him to be speeding up his process and his learning curve when maybe he's just not there yet, to your point. Maybe he needs to just run the play that's given. You know, he's not Tom Brady and Peyton Manning up there dissecting the defense before the play is run. We want him to be that, and maybe he will be eventually. Right now, he's not that. JP is up next. JP.
Hey, what's up, Turtle?
What's up, man?
We talked about this hiring thing just briefly. The Falcons are the kind of organization to bring in Parker Romo as the special teams coach, D. Alford as the defensive backs coach. It's just we can't get it right. Raheem Morris, and I'm a diehard Falcons fan, but I am just beat down. Raheem Morris is a one-star Uber driver, and when he shows up, you're surprised the car stinks and he's late. The guy is 21-38 as a head coach. Is it a must win? To be honest, it doesn't matter because Raheem Morris will find some way to mess it up. And I agree with you. It doesn't matter if we're playing the Jets, the Saints, the Buford, whatever, the Lambert Longhorns. We will find a way to make that team look like an all-star team that week. As far as the Penix thing, Penix is young, man. As a fan base, I feel like he doesn't have the coaching. So for us to sit there and jump all over him like it's his fault, Bijan doesn't have the coaching. Drake doesn't have the coaching. And Michael doesn't have the coaching. I say give him some time. Give him a good coach. But as far as is it a must win, I honestly feel like it doesn't matter, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, wow. Isn't that a Oren, if that's not a tough representation of a stone-cold, harsh reality of where things may be right now, yikes. One more real quick, 404-726-0929. DJ, finish us off. DJ.
Turtle, what's going on, my brother? How you doing?
I'm great, man. Thanks for checking in. What's up?
Man, I'm just I'm exhausted from just being an Atlanta fan all of my life and seeing, to credit the last caller, our head coach, I'm going to call him Radio Raheem. He is 20 games under 500 as a head coach. Last year, we saw that we had a kicking problem with Koo messing up about 2 or 3 games we could have won by a field goal. You figure in the offseason, you would get this right. We bring in Lenny Craig, which in – you can go to YouTube. Lenny Craig beat Kuhl in the preseason, and he's still on the practice squad. This guy can kick 60-yard field goals like it's nothing. What is he doing on the practice squad? What is Chris Blair doing on the practice squad? We've seen what he did in the preseason. Raheem plays favorites. He's not a prototypical head coach. We need to bring in a John Gruden or see what we can do if we can pry the Steelers head coach from them, because this guy is not getting it done. So at the end of the day, what is J.D. Bertrand doing in the middle of that defense, starting for 3 weeks in a row and getting his behind handed to him? Ever since Diablo went down, we've had nothing but problems in the middle of that defense. So Raheem showed that he's not capable of being a head coach. Why isn't Lenny Craig coming up as a kicker when he beat out Kuhl as the kicker?
No,
it's
a good question, and I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for checking in. I just got to hit a break here. That's why I had to let you go early. But thanks for sharing your take, DJ. Lenny Craig was asked about a couple of weeks ago, I believe by our own Mark Zeno, actually. And the answer was, he's still part of the Pathway program, which, a.k.a., not ready. That just means they don't think he's ready yet. Because if he's not ready now, and you didn't bring him in now, you weren't going to do it at all this season. 404-726-0929. Thanks to DJ and everybody else who checked in. We'll get back to the phones next hour. Coming up next, Tori McElhaney joins the show. What's the latest? A long injury report. She'll have all the latest for you on who's in and who's out for Germany. And more of your calls at 404-726-0929. If you're on hold, stay there. It's Chris Thomas tonight.